Thursday, it's another big day out at Flemington. The three of us are all going, and we're going to have great fun out there. Now, before we go into why we're going, how much fun we're going to have, let's talk about how each one of us is involved. Because, and I'm going to ask this question, 13, 10, 60, before we go any further. Did you get a better offer in life and maybe ditch a friend?
Oh.
So
it's a horrible close friend.
A very close friend. I don't know who to turn to start this story. I'll begin by, Fev, you've been invited today to go to the Oaks as part of...
Yes, I'm hosting some corporates in a marquee, which will be fun. A couple of froths, just chat around, have a bit of a punt, watch the horses go around.
That'll be great.
Mingle, talk a bit of schmack talk.
Right by the winning post, isn't it?
Where I don't know where I am. I don't want too many paps to follow me around, but it's in there somewhere. Anyway, so
you'll
yes,
be doing that.
So Byron said he was going to go.
I was just going to say I'll be hosting the Maya
Marquee,
Day,
which is a good gig.
Ladies' lunch. The ladies' lunch there in the Maya Marquee, which will be fabulous.
That's big dog style.
I'm only
D celebrity style. You're A plus.
And then Byron, you got an invitation through from Channel 7.
Friends at Channel 7. Great. Thank you. Members enclosure. That looks very nice. So thank you, Channel 7, for that.
Okay.
It's just standing room on the grass. So that'll be fun for Byron.
Well, there is some fine print here. Members enclosure, and then there's a small asterisk, excluding members only areas.
So what happened?
So I'm not sure.
So I get a phone call yesterday, Boxy.
Not sure where that is.
From Byron, and said, mate, can I stay, because he lives in Pakenham, goes, can I stay at your house tonight? I said, yeah, no worries, mate. Stay at my house, come back with us. Alex is going with Mia. They're in the birdcage somewhere in a nice marquee. You can come home with us. He goes, great. I said, oh, he goes, I'm going with Bridge, our producer. I'm going with Channel 7, got me tickets. I thought, well, that's good. Well done. I work at Channel 7 too. I didn't get any tickets. And then he rang. I said, oh, you could have come with me. I got a spare ticket because Alex is not going with me. She's going with someone else. So I've got to think, oh, she could have come with me. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, I'm going with Bridge. Get a call back about an hour later. Oh, I've ditched Bridge.
That's not what I said.
Now, Bridge, I want to point out, is a former producer of this show, wonderful, wonderful person, great human being, and did not deserve to get ditched by you,
Byron. That's not what happened.
So he goes, this is a big vortex. Oh, geez, your big marquee sounds good. That'd be really good. Is it still up for grabs, that tick? I said, oh, no. Nah. Actually, I've given it away. And he goes, don't do that. I've ditched Bridge.
That's not what was said.
Because it's only members standing, and I don't want to go.
Well,
to
I'm
the
very appreciative
standing.
Of the ticket from Channel 7. Just, it wasn't quite what I thought it was initially.
Okay, so you got a ticket you thought was a great, cool ticket to the races. Turns out not to. And asked Bridge, you said, I'll take a plus one.
That'd be lovely.
Great.
Bridge and I great
found
mates.
Found out the ticket wasn't as good as you hoped.
She wouldn't have wanted this ticket, trust me.
Oh, she bought, she's all ready. She bought a dress.
We don't know that.
Hit up Fev to get into one of these great corporate marquees. You got in there and you've dumped Bridge. Now, a couple of things. As a woman, of course, Bridge has got her dress. She probably booked in some hair and makeup.
Bridge is very low maintenance.
Well, we've got Bridge on the line.
Oh, she shouldn't be on the line.
Yeah, I am here and I'm really frustrated listening to this.
Oh, come
Bridge,
on.
What happened and how much has Byron ruined your day?
Absolutely ruined my day. I had planned everything. I had planned a dress. I had even texted my auntie, who's a milliner, to get myself a hat made up. I was going to pick it up last night in the city. So Byron texted me. Out of the blue, I haven't heard from Byron in a little while since I was working on the show.
That's not true. We hang out all the time. This is rubbish.
Do we go for coffee every
day? He said, oh, well, I'd love you to come to the races with me on Thursday. And I said, oh, Gabby can't go. And he said, no, Gabby's in Gippsland. I'd love to go with you. It'd be really, really nice. And I thought, great. I need a day out. It'll be really nice to see Byron. We'll catch up. It'll be really good. Channel 7, I'm sure it'll be something nice.
Mm.
Anyway, then we speak yesterday and he said, yeah, all locked in. We're going to leave around 10:30 from work. We'll just leave straight after the show. So that's fine. And then I get a text a couple of hours later saying, oh, it's all turned into a bit of a vortex. Turns out my tickets aren't as nice as I thought, and Fev's got other tickets for me.
I text you because I know you like to have an afternoon nap.
Yeah, but hang on. And
hang on. Shush, Byron.
Just for one second. So you could have spent a lovely afternoon with a dear friend of yours, Bridge, maybe not in a, you know, salubrious marquee.
As much as I appreciate it, this is essentially a lawn pass.
Yeah,
this is just to get me through.
What's wrong with the lawn? You would have been in the company of a good friend.
What's wrong about being with Bridge?
You dumped Bridge for a better marquee.
Oh, that might fit in
Bridge,
nicely
I'm
with
so
your
sorry
phone topic,
that.
But that's not what's happened.
Dumped for a marquee.
Don't
That's all right. I'm sorry, Bridge, but he did ring me to stay at my house. And I said, yeah, no worries. And he goes, I'm going with Bridge. I said, oh, I had a spare ticket. So he could have come with me if he had no one to go with.
And then he's
and he goes, no, I'm going with Bridge. It's going to be a great day.
Bye, Bridge.
But, and then he rings me 2 hours later and says, I'm Bridge, Bridge.
Yeah, but what about this? Before he rang you, he rang me and he said, Fee, what time are you going to the races tomorrow? I'd love to go with you and get a lift. And I went, yeah, well, I don't know. I'll probably be going quite early. And I said, I know Fev's going too. Beep, rang you immediately.
All right. Poor
Byron,
Bridge.
It seems like you got a better offer and you ditched a friend. 13, 10, 60 I'm going to think you're the only person in Melbourne who would ever do this.
But, I've got her running to make her a hat.
I know, she's gone gone to pick that up last night.
I think she's hamming that up.
13, 10, 60
I don't think that happened.
Have you done a Byron?
Okay.
Did you dump a friend for a better offer?
This is just to conveniently fit in with your phone, because it's not at all what happened. 13, 10, 60
That's exactly what happened. That's the vortex.
Is the number.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Now, we're talking about when you have ditched a friend, or it doesn't even have to be a friend, just anybody, for something better, a better offer that's come along. Because Byron asked a good friend of all of ours, Bridge, he said to her, do you want to come to the Oaks, the races with me? She said yes. She organised millinery from her cousin, a dress. And then Fev had a chat with, Byron had a chat with Fev, who had an extra ticket to one of his marquees. And Byron's gone, well, that's much better. So we texted Bridge and went, sorry, Bridge, going to have to cancel. I got a ticket to a marquee. Oh, bang, dropped bang. A sack of potatoes. Yeah. Okay. Ow.
I don't want to hang out in the lawn with you, Bridge, but I'll go to a nice fancy marquee.
See, I'm
How
conflicted.
Are you going to enjoy today?
Okay, because the radio part of my brain right now says we just need to move into the calls.
We do.
And allow that to be the summary of what's actually happened.
Yeah, so 13, 10, 60 we asked, did you dump a friend for a
not
better
at
offer?
All.
Julian.
Not what
Julian in Tarneed. Hi, Julian.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good, Julian. Have you done a Byron?
Yeah, so I bailed on a mate for some box seats at the A-League last season.
Did he know that you were going to the box seat?
Well, we actually planned to go to the soccer together, just in general admission.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got offered the box seat ticket, but there was only one.
This is exactly the same.
It's nothing like what I did.
It's actually better than what you did, because that they're box seats. They had you bought your ticket with your mate yet, Julian?
Yeah, we have.
Oh, okay. No, it's definitely not better.
Did your mate go to the soccer by himself?
No. He ended up watching it at home and then Snapchatting me saying, hope you're having a good time.
Couldn't he just take another friend with your ticket?
Pardon?
Couldn't he have just taken another friend with your ticket?
No. I think after he found out that I ditched him, he just...
He's going to be like Bridge today.
Bridge won't be like that today. Bridge is fine.
She will, because I'll be sending pictures.
And at least Julian's friend, I mean, he had a ticket. You've taken Bridge's ticket.
All right.
She can't even go.
28 past 7. I'll give her the tickets that I got and she can take another friend.
Well, you might need them as backup, because you might not be able to get into mine yet.
Well, there's reasons behind that which we can't discuss on air.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Von Dracula's time.
That's right, it's the last time, your last chance to go to Dracula's Theatre Restaurant in North Carlton. It's a Melbourne icon. It's sat there on the corner in Carlton. What is that street?
not Rathdown. It's off King's Way.
Yeah, usually when I'm on my way from one side of the city to the next, I drive past it. Anyway, we all said we've driven past Dracula's for our entire lives and we've never been. So before it closes
which is
on
why
December,
they're closing.
Which is, before it closes on December 23, we're urging everyone to go, but to come with us. So we've hired the venue out for a night on November 16. We'll be giving away tickets a bit later in the show because we want you to join us there. But one of the hurdles that we've had since day one, when I came up with this idea, I said, Fev, this will be great. We're going to go to Dracula's. We have a big night. You said to me, yeah, but I'm scared. I get scared. Don't like horror.
I don't.
And they've got this ghost train, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I won't be going on it.
See? But see, when
I'm going to Dracula's.
But... No, I know. But I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to get you match fit. And you too, Byron. So I came up this morning with this little prank. You're a big prankster, Fev. I thought it was time to get my own back. So Tim James, the assistant to the executive producer, he was very happy and willing to go on this journey with me. Mm. So can we stop the music for a second?
It's really... It's setting the scene.
But it's so loud, I can't talk.
Oh, sorry, we're just having a bit of fun.
Anyway, at 5 a.m. this morning when you two came to work, I arranged for Tim to be dressed up as Pennywise, the clown. That's right, that's the name, isn't it?
Yep.
That scary clown from the movie It. and stand in the lift well as the lift doors open when you two arrived at work. So unfortunately for Tim, he doesn't get the best jobs here on the show. This was him this morning as he was tentatively waiting for you two to walk out of the lift.
So we're getting ready to scare Fev and Byron. So I've blocked off one of the lifts, so they can't come out one of them. I'm nervous because humans have two reactions to getting scared and things like this, and that's fight or flight. I'm not too worried about Byron. I feel like he'll be definitely flight. Whereas Fev, I feel like, might turn around and punch me if he feels like he's in danger. He's got fists like small trucks, so I'd go down like a bag of you-know-what if that happens.
Jim was genuinely, genuinely afraid of Fev. Mm. So this is what went down this morning.
I'm also quite scary, Tim, so it's interesting.
No, you're not. He wasn't at all worried about you. So Tim stood there in the dark and the lift doors open and there was Brendan Favola.
Did you get scared?
No, I just want to drop my coffee.
Well, that was a big fizzer.
Fev came out on the scooter. He was moving quickly, so I had to move quick as well. He spilt his coffee, though, so he's not happy, and I'm not going to be very popular with him today.
Fail.
It was a massive fail.
Well,
not from you, from Tim, mate.
Yeah, but when I walked in, I saw the cross on the lift, and I thought, oh, geez, I hope the other one doesn't open. Then we won't have to go to work. I literally stood there and thought, I hope it doesn't open. And then I've scooted out, I've torn an Achilles, I've got a red-hot coffee.
Yeah.
And this idiot comes out the side and goes, it wasn't even a rah, it was a ooh. And I'm like, what are you doing, you idiot? If I fall off, hurt my leg, or spill coffee, third degree burns.
Idiot.
Okay, like, I know it was my idea, but now let's lay blame where it's due. I mean, Tim, the execution was obviously quite poor there, so you didn't even scare
him. There was more fear in his voice than there was more.
The idea is to be a scary clown, not a tentative clown.
Right.
Anyway, next, it was the final chance to really scare the bejeebers out of Byron.
What the hell is that? Who is that? Is that Tim? That's petrifying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What's going on? It's not even Halloween. It's Oaks Day. There's no topicality. You look ridiculous. Yeah, I got scared slightly, but I think the loser in this is you.
But it's pretty scary though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was for about 3 seconds. Now you're dressed as a clown on Oaks Day. See ya.
Well, okay. Both have backfired. Yeah. Oh, I'll get out of the clown suit now. I need to go back to work.
That's what we call an epic fail.
I think we can all agree that, you know, we're trying to help Tim in this job. I don't think that's done him any favours.
Dracula's Melbourne closes December 23. Don't miss out on this spectacular fun.
Hopefully it's spookier than that.
Book your tickets now at draculas.com.au. We're going to give away more tickets, include your dinner and drinks. Stay tuned.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
We love this next guest.
Yes, a ray of sunshine has just strolled in. Carrie-Anne Kennelly, welcome to the show.
It's so good to see you, Fev.
Oh, it's so good to see you too.
And my mate.
Hello.
Fev.
My little mate.
Oh.
What's going on?
See, people, this is so probably the unusual friendship in the studio, because I even said when, we've got Carrie-Anne coming, I haven't seen you for over a year now. Mm. And then Fev was like, yeah, we're mates. And I went, this is interesting. Let's dig a bit deeper here. Mm. Fev, where did you and Carrie-Anne meet?
Well, Carrie and I did Dancing with the Stars in 2012 together.
Yep.
And geez, we had some fun. we had a lot of fun. And
yeah.
I'll bring up a story where CAC was doing a lift, some sort of lift, and Carmelo hurt his back a little bit.
Mm.
And she's like, I need to get this lift right. I need to get this lift right. And I was out the back having a dart, I reckon.
Yeah, yes.
And she come out and she goes, I really need you. I need you to help me with my dance moves. And I'm like, what? Are you all right? Because I can't dance. And then she came out because he'd hurt his back, so I had to do a lift. And I nailed it, did it better than Carmelo. And CAC wanted me to dance with her. And I was like, oh, they were good times.
They were fun times.
Where did you eventually come, the two of you?
Oh, I got booted out halfway through. I think you stayed in.
I stayed in to the end, nearly.
Yeah.
Fine. Nearly.
I'll come forth. Now, how's the book, mate?
Yeah, this is
A Bold Life.
What a beautiful book, too. Absolutely.
Thank
the
you.
Pictures in it, Carrie-Anne, so gorgeous. And so, you know what's incredible when I think about all the people you've met? Do you sometimes forget who you've met? I've seen you on stage with Cliff Richard, hanging out with George Harrison, a Beatle, and the Whitsundays.
Yeah, I got to say, you have to go back, and I go, oh, yeah, forgot that, because I had to go back into scrapbooks just to try and chronicle a career, because you know what it's like in media. You do your stuff, tear up the rundown, start again the next day.
Yes.
And luckily, a lot of my life is in scrapbook form for media, and then a lot of photos. You know, I always like taking happy snaps, even when we had a thing called film, and there was a camera. And you put them in an album. Now they're all in cyberspace and nobody sees them.
Exactly.
So I had to go back through all those fun personal shots and the life and, chronicle what I did and try. And then I'd have to go to John with the photographs or this bit, go, what were we thinking? What was this photograph? And he always had the backstory because he could remember everything.
Well, that's I'm a sporting person, and there's one picture in your book with Sir Viv Richards, and you're laying in bed with him. And tell us about how you entered the room.
Okay, this is many years ago. One of my first interviews, I'd started at Channel 10. I was obviously desperate to get and keep the job, and the boys sitting around production meeting, well, cricket team's in town, Kerri-Ann, you go and get Vivian Richards. And I've gone, I'm on it. So I call my husband and say, John, apparently I think he's this person's in sport, Vivian Richards. He's gone, oh, for God's sake, this is like the greatest fast bowler in the world. Oh, a guy. I said, well, why do they call him Vivian?
He's also a batsman, Kerri-Ann.
Oh,
he's
a batsman, isn't he?
He's a great batsman.
One of those.
Didn't
you
have
see,
to bring
so
that
I'm
up,
right on it. Yeah, thank you very much.
I told you.
So I find out through Keith Miller, he's another fabulous cricketer, that they were holed up at the Hilton Hotel in Sydney. So I go along with the crew expecting an interview. So I bribe the guy at the desk, find out what room he's in, knock on the door. Eventually, the door cracks open and this face peers around the door, a black face, who I didn't know he was black. John said he's from the West Indies. That hadn't dawned
on me.
Highly
likely.
Yeah. So I've gone, excuse me, Mr. Richards, could we do it? No, thank you. It was so polite. Oh, no, thank you very much. I'm very tired. We've got to Adelaide today. And I said, and he's about to close the door. I literally put my foot in the door. And I said, look, I'm sorry, you don't really understand. I've got this new job. I really want the job. If I don't go back to the office with this particular interview, I won't get the job and, you know, my life is over. But no pressure. And he just looked at me and he said, oh, okay, but I'm not leaving the room. So my very first interview for Good Morning Australia was in bed with Viv.
That is
brilliant.
It says so much.
And I have seen him at big events, and he loves his golf and I do. So Viv and I, literally, we do catch up with each other quite a lot now.
And what's the handicap at the moment?
Oh, 17.
17.
Not too good.
Is that good?
Gun golfer.
Solid.
Yeah,
what's
solid.
What's your handicap, Fev?
I'm at about 12.
Him.
Oh, okay.
At the moment I am. Oh, come on. Now, I've been watching TV the last couple of weeks, and there's a...
What, no job?
We finish at 9.
You won't, Kerri-Ann. He watches so much TV, I don't know where he fits
and
in.
And speaking about jobs, there's a nice little seat at Channel 9 in the breakfast... You'd be perfect for.
We were just saying.
Not for $1.8 million.
Good on you, Kerri-Ann.
Oh, sorry, 2.3.
2.3.
Yeah, you'd need equal pay, Kerri-Ann.
You guys get paid so much more than us.
This is great. This is A Bold Life. You have to get this book. It's Kerri-Ann Kennelly's new book, A Bold Life, with stories like the one we've heard.
Is it over? Well, yeah, can you believe that, Kerri-Ann? We get like 3.5 minutes with you.
It's FM radio.
Mate, you could stay for as long as you want, Kerri.
I'm here. Yeah,
do you want to hang out? All right, well, please do. You can play Alpha Bucks after this. A Bold Life, available now in all good bookstores. Kerri-Ann Kennelly.
What a ray of sunshine.
Honour to have you on the show this morning.
Person.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
You may remember this last week. I was a little bit peeved because I...
Last week?
Last week, yeah. Remember when
we
noticed that Jimmy Barnes was out and about? He was on the project
Everywhere. Jamming
with Waleed. He was on every other breakfast show in Melbourne. And I just went, hang on. I said, Leon, does Jimmy have something against us? Why was he not on our show? And Leon said, oh, yeah, he was offered. I just didn't think you guys would be interested.
Right.
Leon, what little lesson have you learnt since then?
Bring every guest request to you guys.
I mean... my obsession with Jimmy Barnes, like Jimmy Barnes is my number one. Like I said this the other day. He's my number two, Fev's my number one.
Yeah, he's right next to you.
I'm contractually obliged to say that. So for years when I used to work at Triple M, Jimmy would ring me on my birthday to wish me happy birthday. That was my birthday treat.
And then he invoiced Triple M.
Yeah, and then Triple M had to pay him for that.
That was promo.
But I've been requesting a serenade from Jimmy Barnes for years.
Yep.
That was another mistake where accidentally Ian Moss serenaded me. Anyway, long story. To make up for it, though, thank you, Leon.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone.
This is great. We can confirm Jimmy is on the line, guys.
G'day, how are you?
Oh, Jimmy, it's so good to have you on the show. I've missed you. I'm sure you haven't really registered that I haven't been around, but I've really missed you.
I missed you. What have you been doing? Come on. You never call anymore.
I know, Jimmy, can I tell you how disappointed and heartbroken I was when I was seeing you pop up on TV shows, radio stations, and I turned to our producer and said, why is Jimmy Barnes not here in a studio sitting next to me at the moment? And apparently crossed wires meant we didn't get you in here, and I have been furious about it.
Well, I'm here.
Oh, thank goodness. How have you been?
I'm really well. Really well.
You look well.
I know. I'm ridiculously healthy at the moment.
I know. It's fabulous. Do you remember, Jimmy, and you don't have to, a few years ago when I worked at Triple M, and you would occasionally call in to wish me happy birthday?
Yes.
See, those were the days.
See, the good old days. But see, you were around the corner from me then. So
yeah, exactly. I was. I know. Now I've moved interstate, which isn't as much
fun. It makes it a bit harder. It's very nice to talk to you, Pete.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you.
I don't think he remembers. But, Barnsley, it's Fev here, mate. How are you going?
Very good, mate.
I watched you on the Sunday night story couple of weeks ago, and I just wanted to say it was incredible. You had your wife and kids on there, and what a bloody great story. You got your new book out, Jimmy Barnes, Working Class Man, and it was a real credit that you were so open and someone that's been through a bit of stuff. I really enjoyed it, mate.
Oh, good on you, pal. Yeah, I think talking about this stuff is, it's as important as dealing with it, you know. For me, part of the issues that I had as a bloke, you know, is I never had people to speak to about it. You know, it was just sort of everybody just, you know, men didn't talk, so you just sort of kept going, and it kept going to the point where, you know, we nearly died. So that's why it's good to be out in the open, good to be talking about it, and maybe we can help a few other blokes.
You are a much loved national treasure, Jimmy, and to have you that open, I agree. I think it's so relatable. And Jimmy, you the other night when you were on the project, you've got to add Torn. You did it better than Natalie. I'm serious. I loved that.
I slowed it down a bit and tried to sing it like a soul song. So, you know, you can do that with everything. I can, you know. We were sitting there last night, we were having a joke. They wanted me to come in every week and do a different song, you know.
That would be amazing. You should.
You just give her the treatment.
Good on you, Fev. We had, and this is going to embarrass Fief a lot here, Barnsley, and arguably I shouldn't share this story, but many years ago when Fief and I worked together at Triple M, she was obviously a huge fan of yours. And she was really hoping for a serenade, a beautiful serenade, a one-on-one. And producers madly worked on this idea that you would come in and sing a beautiful song to Fifi.
I remember this.
Yeah. There was kind of a miscommunication.
Another one.
And Ian Moss ended up turning up.
That's right. And she quite liked Ian.
With respect to Mossy, that wasn't what she wanted.
That wasn't what she ordered.
Oh, no! And remember, Jimmy, you were outside looking in, and I'm like, no, wrong guy. I want the other
dude,
one.
Wrong dude. I remember that. That's right. Oh, that's hilarious.
It's funny. So one day in the future, Jimmy, I may get that serenade in person.
You request a song, and then one day I'll sneak in when you least expect it.
Yes, hold the line. Okay, great stuff. In the meantime, of course, Barnsley's new memoir, as Fev mentioned, Working Class Man, available now in all good bookstores, and Melbourne Show added to Jimmy's tour, The Working Class Man, an evening of stories and songs. Jimmy Barnes, what an honour.
So listen, when next time I'm down, maybe do time around the show.
Yes.
Maybe sneak in.
I'd love that, Jimmy, definitely.
You just have to let me know in advance what song you want, and so I can get Mossy to learn.
Yes, please, it is almost gone.
That's on record. Yeah. You'll regret saying that. It's the Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. That was great, guys. We finally had Jimmy Barnes on the show, and as you can tell, I you know that part of you that hates yourself for being fangirly, but you just can't stop it because you really love someone, and I've grown up listening to Cold Chisel and Jimmy, and I just, I get that thing.
Yeah.
I don't do that. Side note, you can't impersonate Jimmy to Jimmy next time.
Yeah.
Don't do that again.
You should do that. Do it again. Do it again. Yeah, see?
He was actually on the phone when you did that?
Yeah, did you do that?
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Anyway, I don't know
what I'm thinking half the time.
I remember even like years ago when I was like at uni and I was trying to be an actor and I really loved, I think I've told you this, I like loved Marlon Brando because my acting teacher first showed me Streetcar Named Desire. My acting teacher, okay. My coach, yep. And Streetcar Named Desire.
How did that go for you? Streetcar Named Desire, Marlon Brando.
But I watched that in like the late 90s as like a 20-year-old, not realizing that Marlon was about 30 back in the 1940s when that was filmed. So I got this massive crush on him, not realizing he was now 75 and living over in LA. But my friend and I had a plan. We were going to drive, fly over there, stake his house, sit out the front and wait for an autograph. And sometimes your brain just does things where you're so obsessed with somebody, you go to great lengths. And I have witnessed this, for instance, this happens here at the Fox a little bit, but we do lots of pre-records.
It's every
morning.
So
a lot of fans know that guests might not necessarily be here at live, so we don't often get people hanging out the front. Mm. But when I do the project, there's often a big name guest, the final guest of the show, big singer, big actor, big comedian, and there's super fans that will wait in the car park for them. So I witness this often, but I have the negative flip side of this is that when the lift doors open and I walk out into the car park and the look of disappointment on their faces, because they're like, I've snuck into the car. Oh, that's Fifi, boss. Anyway, can I get a selfie, Fifi? And there's nothing worse than the half-hearted selfie.
The sympathy one.
Like when somebody goes, yeah. While you're here, can I get a selfie? Yeah, it never makes you feel good about yourself.
I get those at most station events when they want pictures with you too.
And then they say, what was it, Brian?
Seeing you here, Brian.
But anyway.
We used to get this at the footy club all the time.
Oh, of course you would. Yeah. You'd get people obsessed with you,
they'd
Fev.
Come to training and then, like, literally you'd stay after, you'd get a massage and you get physio, you have to do weights. And you'd train at, like, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't leave till 5 and they'd still be out the front just to get a photo or an autograph. It's like, wow.
I know. And eventually you'd go, Brian, go away.
I'd walk out with, like, Cuda and Sauce and Brattles. And they didn't get my autograph when I was real young.
Oh, they didn't know what they were doing.
I just jumped into my little VM with a smash window and drove home back to Nazawaza.
Can I ask you the legend that is the great number 30 at Carlton?
Jared Waite.
Sorry, 28.
He's
26.
He's go lower.
25.
That's it.
The great number 25 at Carlton, Brendan Favola. Who have you been obsessed with and wanted to hunt down?
Alex got her. No.
Come on, you must be a fan of
I love Alicia Silverstone because of Clueless.
Okay, so that might have been someone you would have really gone to great lengths.
But I loved footy. So it was like Tony Lockett, Stuart Lowe, Robert Harvey. I used to go to Moorabbin and watch them train and I'd hang out, get an autograph like a loser.
Yeah.
And I used to sell pizzas at Waverley. Hot pizza when I was like 14, 15. Yeah. What are you laughing at, Greg?
No, that's cool. I pay my dues.
You've got to get tuck chop money. And we used to sell pizzas and then I used to sell them all and then sit in the cheer squad. And I used to be in the cheer squad. I used to wave like those big pom-pom things.
Yeah.
And then the members was where the pizzas were made for Pizza Hut. So I'd sneak down the lift and the pizza where they made the pizzas were near the room. So I'd sneak into the change rooms and I took like Stuart Lowe's Gatorade bottle one day with 23 on it.
Yeah.
And I've still got it at home. And then I met him and become friends with him. I said, remember that day? Because they know. Like I said, I stole your Gatorade bottle. He goes, I remember that day. I was searching for my Gatorade bottle. And you, you little prick, you stole it. I said, yeah, that was me.
I can't believe.
Yeah, there you go.
That's great length. 13, 10, 60. How far have you gone to meet a celebrity?
Okay, we'll see where we go.
I didn't think you would end up being the weird stalker in all of this, Byron. I mean, Fev.
You thought Byron would be.
Weird and Byron just flowed for you.
I was 14 or 15. Okay. They're footy players. I wanted to be a footy player.
Are you offended? I just looked you in the eye and called you Byron.
We'll get back to your calls. 13, 10, 60, the lengths you've gone to meet a celebrity.
Now they all stalk me.
Your calls are next.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
We were speaking about the fact we had Jimmy Barnes on the show and I'm just a massive super fan. And sometimes when you're a huge fan, you go to great lengths to meet somebody and sometimes you can reflect on it and go, gee, that was really embarrassing what I did. But we've decided to celebrate that embarrassment and we've got Kerry from Broadford on the line. Hi, Kerry.
Hello. Hi, guys. Just love your show.
Oh, we love you, Kerry.
Hi, Fev.
Hey, Kerry.
Just love you.
Oh, I'm blushing.
Is Fev, have you gone to great lengths to ring the radio station because you love Fev? Like, is that the guy that you've got the crush on?
Oh, sorry, Fev.
That's all right. Don't be sorry.
Okay, so who is the big star? And what length did you go to?
Went to the MotoGP at Phillip Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood for 4 hours in high heels.
Whoa.
And it was raining in parts to get Valentino Rossi and Casey Stoners to meet them and get their autographs.
And did it happen, Kerry?
Yes.
Oh, well done. So was it worth it?
Yes.
Little Italian stallion.
Did you say
Valentino Rossi is just beautiful, got the photo done, got everything done, got it all framed with a plaque and everything.
This is probably a one percenter. Why were you wearing heels at Phillip Island?
I had high heel boots on.
Good. Oh, no, good. That's just looking hot. No,
looking
that's great stuff.
You meet Valentino.
Rossi's little. The motorbike riders are as little as jockeys.
Kirsten in Somerville. Hi, Kirsten.
Hello. How are you?
Good, Kirsten. What lengths have you gone to meet a celeb?
Well, I'm a massive John Farnham fan.
Farnsie.
And my mum and I were at one of his concerts at the Palais in St Kilda, and we waited around sort of at the back for 2 hours in the pouring down rain to meet him, and all the cars came out the back. We could see him through the car window and he just kept driving.
Oh,
that's a shame.
We were drenched.
He's got to come back to her. It's coming back.
And so maybe he didn't see you. Hey, Kirsten, I grew up in a street near where he lives.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't know exactly what house it is, but if I find out, I could let you know and then you might actually get a chance to meet him.
I'm going to... I bought tickets to the One Electric Day tour in Werribee on the 26th of November.
Good plug.
I'm kind of hoping to catch a glimpse again, you know?
Good luck. Okay. Fief, you can't be giving John Farnham's home address to people.
Okay.
Fief, can you pick her up on this stuff? She's just about to give the home address of John Farnham to a crazed stalker.
I was about to say where Boxer used to live and I thought, no, I better not.
lovely part of Melbourne. Colleen in Melton South. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, guys. I just have to say I love your show. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah. Colleen.
Do
you know what? We've got a big love fest here, but we want to talk about who else you love.
All right. When I was quite young, Prince Charles and Princess Diana came to Melbourne, and my mum obviously took me to see them, and I just idolised Princess Di to the point I even wanted her hair.
Yeah.
I jumped the barrier and raced out to them and gave Princess Di an apple.
Oh! Colleen, did you get photographic evidence of this?
No, I didn't, but she did turn to Charles and say, Charlie, that little girl just gave me an apple.
Oh, that is so sweet. Colleen, you will forever have that moment.
Oh, look, I worship Di, and oh my goodness, it was just one of the most exciting things I have ever done.
Colleen, do you know what? I mean, I'll share a little story with you.
I
had a little moment with Prince Charles a few years ago too. I saw him at the polo.
Jump on his ears and
I did. I jumped out to try and meet him at a polo match in the UK that I was at. And forever, I've got a photograph of Prince Charles and my nose. It was just my nose slid into the photo.
I've seen that picture.
Should we post that at Fifi, Fev, Byron if we can find it?
Pretty funny.
We'll put that on Insta.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Von Dracula's time.
It's going to be massive. This time next week, it is on as we farewell a Melbourne institution. Dracula's Melbourne is closing, but not before we have a massive party.
No, we're going there for a big last party. We're taking you guys with us because we want it to be a big family affair. And Emily from Heathmont, you're coming to Dracula's with us.
Hi.
You and three mates, actually, Em.
Yes, I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. I've always wanted to go.
I know. Have you, like us, just driven past it in Carlton and thought, yeah, one day?
It's a common theme,
definitely.
Isn't it? I wanted to go, but I didn't go.
Yes.
Hence why they're closing.
That's the problem.
We should call it Shoulda, Woulda, Coulda.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Dracula's is the place you should have gone, could have, didn't.
Shoulda, Woulda, Coulda's a great topic.
Dinner and drinks are included. It's a table of four for you,
lovely.
Emily. So we'll see you next Thursday
night.
Thank
you so much.
It's good stuff. You can book your tickets if you can't get in on our night. They're open till the 23rd of December. Don't miss the fun. Draculas.com.au for your tickets.
Now, I finally got you on board, Fev, but when I first suggested this, I said, let's go team bonding, let's all go to Dracula's. You weren't necessarily on board because you're scared of scary things, and they've got this cool ghost train, which I'm hanging to go on, and you're like, nah, not doing it.
Yeah, I won't do it.
So I thought to myself, I'd get your match fit, and I'd do a bit of prep for you. So this morning, I arranged with the assistant to the executive producer, Tim James. He's one of the other producers, but not the main one.
Lower level.
He's
a lower tier.
Much lower.
I said, Tim, why don't you this morning dress up as Pennywise from the movie It, the scary clown, and when Fev and Byron exit the lift in the foyer here at Fox, like, scare them. And this will be great preparation for going to Dracula's.
Just as you thought this, whenever you made this up in your little head.
Yesterday.
Did you think that, my co-host Brendan, who I love lots, is crippled at the moment. He's got torn an Achilles. He's on a scooter. And he always comes in with a really hot coffee. So if he gets scared and falls off that scooter, hurts his ankle again, he won't have to work. That's probably half your plan. And then I get third-degree burns because my coffee spilled on me.
I come up with the ideas. I don't think it through. That's someone else's job. But poor Tim, so there he was this morning in the Fox foyer waiting for you, Fev, and I'm going to say quite anxious.
So we're getting ready to scare Fev and Byron. So I've blocked off one of the lifts, so they can't come out one of them. I'm nervous because humans have two reactions to getting scared and things like this, and that's fight or flight. I'm not too worried about Byron. I feel like he'll be definitely flight. Whereas Fev, I feel like, might turn around and punch me if he feels like he's in danger. He's got fists like small trucks, so I'd go down like a bag of you-know-what if that happens.
So I put Tim in a very vulnerable position there.
You did. Is Tim the guy that's got the really cool brother?
Yeah, he's Scotty James. He's the world champion, Olympian.
Cool. Yeah.
Anyway, so there was Tim this morning. The lift doors open and Fev came out.
Did you get scared?
No, I just want to drop my coffee.
Well, that was a big fizzer.
Fev came out on the scooter. He was moving quickly, so I had to move quick as well. He spilled his coffee, though, so he's not happy, and I'm not going to be very popular with him today.
Now, I like a prank, and if I'm going to scare someone, I'd be, he went,
yeah.
Like, what's that?
The execution was very poor.
He was very scared, I think. I think he was more scared than I was.
Well, I guess the question is, did Tim scare Byron?
What the hell is that? Who is that? Is that Tim? That's petrifying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What's going on? It's not even Halloween. It's Oaks Day. There's no topicality. You look ridiculous. Yeah, I got scared slightly, but I think the loser in this is you.
But it's pretty scary, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was for about 3 seconds. Now you're dressed as a clown on Oaks Day. See ya.
Well, okay. Both have backfired. Yeah. Oh, I'll get out of the clown suit now.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Tim. That hasn't worked out for Tim.
And I didn't know you were doing this, so because I get in here first, I went out in the balcony and I was waiting for you to pull up out the front.
Oh.
And I was ready to text Leon and say, Fee's coming, Fee's coming. And it was like 10 to 6. And I'm like, Fee's running late. So I come back in and you're all in the meeting.
Oh, wow.
An idiot.
You can see the failed prank. Well, I reckon FM radio has been full of pranks over the last few decades. That was the worst one in the history of FM radio. Fifi Fev Byron on Instagram if you want to watch the fail.
Tim was an assistant producer. Now he might have dropped. How do you drop further down?
It
what
takes
is the
Blake's
next
job.
He's going to get out Jaffles.
Fifi Fev and Byron.
Fifi Fev and Byron.